Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Sunday. Now it's Monday. I didn't get a chance to post this sermon Sunday, but I'm off today on Monday, so I decided just to post it today. This is this week's sermon. Haven't been on here for a little bit. Had vacation Bible school, so I was getting prepared for all that, and a few conferences, so I'm getting my bearings back. And what the goal is, the projection is here, is to look at Psalms 9, and break it down verse by verse. So that it probably, or this is probably going to be, you know, anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe 6, maybe more, sessions. But welcome to Wake Up America Church Ministry. If you're following this ministry, I want to, it's been 3 years now since the Lord placed this on my heart, over 3 years now to do this. Thinking about changing the name of this ministry to a different name, but that'll be next year. But that was about the only name I could find when I was trying to create this website, and so I just kind of went with it. Lord laid another name on my heart, so but I have to wait for this domain name to expire to be able to plug in a new one. But if you still are, but it will still, if you still have the old domain name, when I change it, it'll actually still link to it. It's just a bunch of little technical things to linking and stuff, but that's beside the point. But if you're following this ministry for, you know, now 3 years or more, I'm thank you for those that are truly following this and loving these sermons and loving these Bible studies. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you are, and just not that, you love absolute truth, and that is incredible. Jesus Christ, and you fall in that small minority group that actually truly love truth. If you're a first time listener, you know, if you fall in these two categories, you love truth, you love biblical truth. This, I do not water it down. I don't water it down. And you'll love that, or you won't love that, and you will hate me in this ministry. And well, you don't have to listen. You can go off and go over there and listen to them nice, motivated, anti-God speakers like Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick, and the list will go on and on. Of course, that's controversial, but it's what it is. These guys, they fit in the category of teaching, of the tickling of the ears, massaging the ears, and guess what? Millions and millions, maybe even billions, follow them, and they will follow them straight to the gates of hell, and that's just how it is. We try to be a voice out there to tell them to recognize who these people are, and they just turn a deaf ear to it. So that's just what it is. I want to encourage you also to be students of God's Word. Everything I say, everything I preach on, everything I teach on, weigh it with Scripture. There's definitely an email. You can email me through this website. If you're part of my Facebook friends or a social group, you can definitely message me any questions you have. Please, I encourage them. I have people that do, and we talk and we go through things. Message me through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Some of you guys may have my personal phone number. Just send me a text, and we'll break down Scripture. I'm about breaking down Scripture. To me, Scripture has the final authority. Your feelings can take a back seat. That's just how I feel about it. Your feelings are secondary to what the Word of God says. So check them. Your feelings will get hurt with the Word of God. Period. We're in a state that we are now because of preachers, Bible teachers, sugarcoating it. I don't sugarcoat it. And I wish many would be like that, but it don't sell here in America. Of course, on this website, there's plenty of Bible studies, sermons, post devotionals on here, and all the resources are free. So, comments, email me, right? Homepage, bottom of this homepage, you can actually email me. So, we're going to start looking at Psalms 9. And now, I'm slowly and methodically working through off and on the Psalms so far. And they're scattered through the archives and wherever. I started on Psalm 1. And, you know, I break them down. I do a lot of study breaking the Psalms down. And I guess eventually the goal is to get through all the 150 ones. But they'll be scattered. They ain't going to be consistent. So you probably can search through here and find Psalm 1, which I believe I preached like 6 sessions on that. And, I mean, they're pretty long. So they're breaking them down pretty extensively. I'm breaking them down pretty extensively, how the Holy Spirit moves. But the title of this sermon series, I guess you would call it, or teaching series, is God Will Stand in the Gap. God Will Stand in the Gap. If you have your Bibles, flip over to Psalms 9. Psalms 9, let's read that in its entirety. Let me flip the light over here where I can see. The chief musician upon, now I'm probably going to slay this name, Morphaloth, the Psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll show for all thy wonderful works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise in thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. They have sat in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thy enemy, destructions are come to a perfection. Thou hast destroyed the cities. Their memorials is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in unrightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thy Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. When he makes inquiries for blood, he remembers them. He forget not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer on them and hate me. Thou hast lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I rejoice in thy salvation. The heathens are sunk down into the pit that they made in the net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he is execute. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hikagai Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Rise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nation may know themselves to be but men. Salah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct as you need as we go into this series, preaching, teaching. God, that you guide and you direct. Lord, I pray the words that you've given me, that it reaches whoever that may need to hear it. through this podcast or to whenever somebody may come across this and listen to, whenever that may be, Lord. Lord, we elevate your name above any other name, and the only name that should ever truly matter is your name, not mine or anybody else's. Oh, we should be students of your word, lifting your name up, that we should weigh everything a man says to the accordance to your word. We should be those breathings that you speak of in Acts, that breathe, that we look and we seek and we search to the scripture. We should be students of your word, and the man that speaks should be weighed by the word. The Holy Spirit, I pray, just move on me, Lord. Move on those that are listening, Lord. We pray over those that may be experiencing things in their life that is challenging, God. We lift them up, Lord. We know this world can be hard. We know this world can be a roller coaster ride. It goes up and down all around, Lord. We pray that you be with them in their time of need, Lord. We pray over our nation as this anti-God revit runs rapid through our nation. All the moral fabric of our nation is crumbling all around us, and many are not even speaking against it. They're watching it cave down. Oh, how the entertainment glorifies the wickedness of our world, and how many so-called of your followers endorses these entertainment giants when they should be turning away from them. The love of this world runs so rapid in our churches. How they love the world more than they love to follow you and keep your commandments. More than to obey and trust what you have for them. More than say they have counted the cost and they know what it may be to follow you. They could lose everything and they're okay with that. They have counted the cost. But oh, I know, Lord, I see that many appear to be done that, but they're not, because their actions give away to revealing who they truly are. There's a time coming where fakeness is going to be revealed, and they will have a choice to make, to truly be in or to truly be out. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Now, the title in most Psalms, and Psalms 9 especially, it gives this title. It's called the Chief Musician upon, and I'm probably going to not say this name right, Murphlakadin. Definitely a very interesting word. Probably did not say that completely right. Looking at commentaries, looked at a few, they put this as a tone, more specifically the tone you see, the death of the sun. So there's possibility that I'm led that Murphlakadin is a tone. Other commentaries said that this name of it could be a possible instrument that would be played to a song. Some more interesting takes on this word is that, of course, we know this is a David song that the Lord gave him, but I wrote that down wrong, but let me see, I actually wrote my notes wrong here. So, one important point here is a David song the Lord gave to him, and we're blessed to have a song with us today. Of course, this was a David song, but that word is definitely an interesting word. So we could view that as a tone or an instrument, basically. I don't know why I wrote that other piece down there. But, you know, really, we know David wrote this song, but what was he referring to? Who or what is he referring to? Some commentaries point that Psalms are reflecting the death of Goliath, right? David and Goliath, you can see that in 1 Samuel 17, a wonderful historical account of David standing strong in his Lord in facing this giant, this massive giant, this massive man towering over him. But that did not worry David, because he knew how his God, he knew who his God is, and he knew what his God is capable of. And of course, now he is in heaven, and he truly understands that. This historical account, we can see in 1 Samuel 17, how God can stand in the gap for his children. While other commentaries believe that this may be referring to the death of one of David's sons. We know David lost one of his sons from the sin of Bathsheba. Of course, we can read that in 2 Samuel 11 and 2 Samuel 12 and 1 Kings 1 and 2 and the death. And then we can also, we know that he lost one of his son, Absalom, in the historical account in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 19. Other commentaries refer to this death as the firstborn in Egypt. Of course, you can read that in Exodus 12. And honestly, I can see how all these commentaries, they can make this kind of work in this title. And a lot of them are, these commentaries are, they're more brilliant than I am. I just wanted to, I'm just a whole country boy that loves the Lord. And I just want to kind of give you guys a little bit of that out there, so you kind of can be aware of that, that you may have never heard of that. When you look at it and be like me, you hear the word and you're like, well, you know, yeah, you're trying, you're like, yeah, I've heard that, you know, the chief musician up on Morthathon or whatever, Psalm of David. And when was David doing this? What was this projection of this Psalm of David? What was he possibly writing it to? And those are the possibilities that is referring to, that you can take into account. But when I read this psalm, regardless, this is how I picture it. My God, David's God, our God, stands in the gap. And regardless of the situation, God is sovereign, meaning he, in a nutshell, he is in control. He is in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. When David had those high mountaintop experiences with God, and one of those when it was when he destroyed Goliath. You know, he said, "I came in the name of the Lord," and then that was a pivotal moment. And he had those low valleys experience and his sin with Bathsheba. And if we travel through this life, we will have both those mountaintop experiences, and we'll have those low valleys. And through all of this, if you are a child of God, he will be right there with you through each and every one of that. And we can clearly see that in the historical account of David, as he walks from that shepherd boy to that giant slayer, to fleeing from Saul for a period of time, and then becoming the king of Israel. And then from that Israel to the point where he fell in areas that he shouldn't have, because he let his guard down. He lost sight of who God was for him, and so easily for sin to creep up in our lives and do that. But the point here is God stands in the gap for his people. And the question I want to present here today is, or this week is, what can we learn from each situation that we will encounter in our lives? What can we learn? When we look at all the things that we're going through, or we may have went through, and we can reflect back on or what we're maybe going through, what can we learn from each situation? Can we see God's hand in motion? Maybe after the fact, when all the smoke is cleared, can we reflect how that point of struggle was a way to grow us to be more like Jesus. And we can reflect during that moment, did we heed His word? Did we heed His direction? Or were we being resistant, fighting Him every step of the way? Did that situation bring us closer to God? Or did we allow it to leave us farther away from God? Did you heed the direction? Where was your heart positioned? That first verse here in Psalms 9 is, first verse, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shoot forth all Thy marvelous works. I want to bring your attention to that word heart, whole heart. What do you think of when you think of heart? Do you think of your heart beating in your chest right now? Maybe you've took a few biology classes, anatomy classes, medical classes on heart and how important the heart is to your overall health. Maybe you've looked at YouTube videos on medical stuff about heart, how the heart works. Our physical heart is amazing. How our heart works. Only God could have made that happen. We are masterpieces. When we look in the mirror, we can see just a miracle just looking as we breathe and all the medical things going on in our body as we wake up, and man, it's just amazing. Don't tell me that came out of nothing. Don't tell we evolved into that. I will not buy the million years evolution as a lie. You may have watched how a child in the womb develops their heartbeat, so on. It goes on and on. Just like our physical heart is important, God wants to bring our attention to our spiritual heart and the beating of our physical heart to praise His holy name. It is not accidental that heart is used in the Bible a lot. I just looked at a few Bible translations on the frequency of heart used in the Bible. In the King James Version of the Bible, the heart is used over 100 times. In the NIV, the word appears more than 500 times. This is not coincidental. And when we look at the word penny mean time, God is trying to get our attention. This word heart is important to God. If we are children of God, the word heart should be important to us. Of course, when we're reading the Psalm and others by David, we see that his heart was beating for the Lord, his whole heart. When our whole heart is beating for the Lord, we are in tune to His direction. But problems happen when we let the enemy, Satan and his demons, fill our life with junk of this world. And when he does, we start having these spiritual heart problems. You know, you're just thinking, for instance, just look at the physical heart. I love Dairy Queen. And some of you may just love Dairy Queen too. And I could eat Dairy Queen every day. I love the hamburgers, I love the french fries, I love the chicken baskets, I love all the desserts, the blizzards that they offer. But if I only ate Dairy Queen every day and that was my only source of food, Dairy Queen. And a year from now, from 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, what would be the likely that I would be having physically heart issues? It's a strong likelihood that My heart will not be as healthy as it is by eating healthy food instead of junk in and out every day. Same with our spiritual heart. We feed our spiritual heart junk of this world, we start having heart issues. When we do this, we are breaking that relationship with God. We are distancing ourselves from Him. This distance should be a painful, as it is, as a physical heart disease is painful for those suffering from the lifestyle of unhealthy eating. Because as we choose to take in junk of this world and we distance ourselves from God, we distance ourselves from God. Meaning we're not heeding the Word. We're not heeding His direction. And when we're not listening and we're not heeding, He cannot speak to us. He cannot stand in the gap for us. Because we have sin in our life, He will not support your sin. He will remove Himself from that position until you turn from it. He cannot stand in the gap. And when that gap is open, guess what comes in? The enemy comes in more. Satan, the demons. You're now set up to fall for everything, every temptation that comes your way. The devil sets those snares for you. And you choose not to obey God. You choose to take up the junk of this world. You're prime to fall for those traps. And I just want to tell you, you don't have to fall for those traps. And I want to give a few things that we should be practicing: a lifestyle of having a healthy heart for Jesus, a healthy spiritual heart for Jesus that allows us to recognize the temptations around us, that allows us to recognize God's voice telling us not to take of that temptation, a heart that tells us to repent of that temptation or that sin, that a heart that is for Jesus. And when we have a heart for Jesus, He is there and He stands in the gap for us. The first one is a lack of prayer in your life. Prayer is powerful. I came across this devotion, our daily bread. I can't remember what, it was a few years ago, and I came across this, and I saved certain things, and I just want to tell you of this account. It tells of five young college students spending a Sunday in London, and they were wanting to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. Love Spurgeon's sermons. Man was on fire for God. So as they wait for the doors to open, the students were greeted by a man who asked. The man says this: "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" They were particularly not interested in this, for it was a hot day in July. And we can speak of hotness. You look at Louisiana, it's getting hot out there. But they did not want to offend the stranger, so they say, "Okay." The young men were taken down to a stairway. A door was quietly opening, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon going to be held in the auditorium above. Slowly closing the door, the gentleman introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Spurgeon. Man, that's powerful. There's power in the prayer. How is your prayer life? Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go. My own wisdom is that all about me seems insufficient for the day." Another quote is, "Prayer is surrender, surrendering to the will of God, cooperating with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pour? Do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. Prayer is direct communication to God, guys. Prayer is getting our minds right with God before we step out those doors of our home to face this dark world in nights of fire, a light. When we go out in this world, we let our light shine. We let our fire burn. I promise you, this world is dark, but the light in us will light up that darkness. But are you men and women of prayer? How does your prayer life look? I promise you, 2 to 10 minutes a day of prayer is not going to cut it anymore. We got to get our mindset right. How can we sit into a movie theater and watch 2 hours and not even bat an eye at that? But then we can't even spend 2 hours a day in prayer. What is going on with us? And then we try to defend, say we don't have time. That mindset is dangerous. And Satan, his demons, does not want you to pray. Let that sink in. You can go into a movie theater and spend 2 hours and not even bat an eye. And then when you ask about your prayer life, you can lie to me. You can lie to anybody else. You're going to hurt yourself, because Jesus sees where you're at. He sees where your heart at. He knows if you're on fire for Him. Oh, one day He will call you out on that. That should stir you up inside. Jesus Christ modeled prayer all through His ministry. The Son of God, with no sin, with no guilt, no blame, prayed all the time. He was busier than most of us would ever think of being. If you want to be more like Jesus, let's work on that prayer thing. You can go over there to Matthew 6:9-12 and Luke 11:1-7. And most of you guys know this as the Lord's Prayer. I and others like to call this the model prayer or the disciple prayer, because they were wanting to know how to pray. Why? Because they seen the fruit of Jesus Christ and how He prayed. He was laying it out for them. I have several, many, probably over 10 easily, sermons on prayer and how important it is. Prayer is important. You see, disciples, they see how Jesus Christ modeled His prayer life. They saw the results of His prayer life. Almost every move Jesus Christ made, it was first pray and then act. Pray and then act. If we pray like Jesus, we pray and then we act. We be on our knees and we seek His face. We fall before a holy God. Are we falling before a holy God? Are we just enjoying this world? Are we taking time to indulge in the junk of this world? Oh, is our hearts clogged by the junk of this world? Oh, our spiritualness is dropped because we love this world. We want to feed on it, and now our prayer life is rocked. Oh, you say, I don't have time to pray. I'm telling you, that mindset needs to end. You need to spend time on your knees for hours in prayer, lifting the holy name of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite prayers by Jesus is John 17, right before the cross. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but man, that prayer is so powerful. Those who can hear and listen, your prayer life needs to be strong. A lack of prayer will create a distance between you and God. Do not be confused, it will. There will be a gap. And God will not honor a life that you choose to take this world because you love it more and you let it come into your life. He will not stand in the gap for you. He will allow Satan and his demons to infest your life. Because you want them. You love them more than he. I could never get why there's such a lack of prayer. Prayer meetings used to be something. Now when you go into a church, it's more like, I don't know, spiritual deadness. I can remember as a child walking and hearing people praying for hours, travailing over whatever it may be, but it's not there no more. And guess what? Our world's falling apart. I want to still ask, how's your prayer life? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Always have that prayer in your heart, a worship on your lips throughout the day. John Bunyan said this, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. And I don't agree with everything C.S. Lewis says, but I agree with this. It's that the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes, all your hopes for the day rush at you like a wild animal. And first job each morning consists in shoving it all back. Shove it all back. And listening to that other voice, taking a point of view, letting others larger and stronger, quieter light come flowing through you. Let all the things of the world push it back and focus your eyes on Christ. Does your prayer penetrate the morning? Does it drive the day until all throughout the day until the night you praise the Lord for another day, another night? Oh, is your heart yearning to have that communication? Here you all quote me. Here you quote me on this. When we have a strong prayer life, it puts everything in perspective. While lack of prayer life throws everything out of perspective. The more we pray, the more we become like Jesus. Understand what he wants, that how he wants to move in our life. How's your prayer? Second, lack of reading your Bible. George Mueller, who was known for his strong faithfulness. First 3 years after conversion, he says, as I neglect the Word of God, since I began to search it digitally, the blessing has been wonderful. I read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. He realized the Word of God is essential. John Bunyan, he wrote the Pilgrim Promise, testifies. He said, I read the Bible, read it again. Do not despair of help to understand something of the will, the mind of God, though you think they are fast locked from you. Neither trouble yourself, though you may not have commentaries and exhortations. Pray and read. Read and pray, for a little from God is better than a great deal from a man. Pray and read the Word of God goes together. We should never neglect both. How is your reading and studying your word? Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp of my feet and a light unto my path. Not walking with God and reading his word means that you're walking a path of darkness. Meaning you're opening yourself for the lies and the traps of the enemy. Oh, how Satan and his demons, they love this opportunity to come in your life. We know Satan is like a roaring lion. He is seeking, he's going back and forth seeking who he may devour. He's loving you, not wanting to be in God's word. He's loving you that you're not praying. Oh, it tells us in his word how he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I'll tell you, Satan is killing and stealing, destroying many Christian lives because they do not want to seek God. They do not want to pray. They do not want to study their word. Oh, it's so taxing on their body. But no, tell them about a vacation they can go on and they're all in. Oh, I want to go to, say, Hawaii, and you're going for a week. You ain't bad eye. You'd be so motivated, so strongly ready for it. But what is your word of God? When I tell you study your word, what does that ignite in you? What does it ignite in you? We are supposed to be light in darkness. We have the ultimate flashlight, the Word of God. Most who would not even attempt to go out in the forest at night with no flashlight. Why? Because our eyes cannot see the danger all around us in the forest. So with this word, we step out into this world and we're not clinging to the Word of God, to Scripture, and we're walking into this dark forest with many dangers such as these snakes, spiders, bears, lions, boars, panthers, list goes on. They're waiting as Satan waits to devour you. God has provided us the lamp for our feet, light for our path in our life. Are you using the Word of God as a lamp in your feet, a light to your path? Only you can answer this. When we do not study God's Word, we distance ourselves from Him. We open ourselves to many dangers that lie ahead. But when we do study and we seek Him, we will find that we have this closeness to Him. We become aware of the dangers all around us. We become discerning of those proclaiming something that is not truth. That's why I believe many fall for people like Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick. They do not study the Word of God. If they did, they would know. Third part is a lack of fellowship with our brothers and sisters. This distancing from God is a lack of fellowship with our brothers and sisters. I want to be clear, a building is not a church. It's the people in that building that makes the church. And of course, we are supposed to tend that building where our brothers and sisters that make up a church. And of course, we are also, as we walk out that building, we are also the church. But people make this excuse because they found staying home is so much more easier. So they try to rationalize it. And that's sad. God is not immune. It's not immune. It's not amused with you trying to rationalize not going to a building with your brothers and sisters. We still can do the Facebook thing. You still can do the Zoom thing. You still can do this. There is a point where we gotta realize God calls us together physically with our brothers and sisters in a local building, which is our church. And of course, we can think of the global church, that is all the believers in the world, such as Mexico, China, Japan, and Russia. We call this the global church. And thank God for technology that we can communicate with our brothers and sisters in these other countries. But we gotta get our minds straight, guys. You may say, I want to meet in my home. My home could be my church. You can justify it through Acts, and that's correct. They did have places and home. They also had men that were called to be over those. The problem is, the men trying to have home churches are not qualified. by God's standard to be over that. I know that's controversial. You ain't going to like it. That's all. Whatever it'll be is what it be. You can flip over there to the qualifications of what it considered to be a pastor. You know, the elders and deacons over in Titus and Timothy. It gives you the layout right there. But God calls us to have that fellowship where our brothers and sisters, and that is a physical fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As the day gets closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, it's imperative that we keep gathering with one another, one way or the other. Now, if you want to do a home church, it's fine. Invite people over. Make sure you have the man that's running the Bible studies and running the preaching is qualified through the Word of God. Not every teacher should be teaching. There's a standard. And of course, that goes with the church and preachers and pastors and Bible teachers. Do they meet the qualifications within the scripture to be a deacon, to be a teacher, etc., etc.? What I'm seeing with just within the church is many that are in these positions, they should not be in these positions, period. And then we wonder why our church is having issues. And Satan and demons, they see that and they give them an opportunity to cause chaos in these gathering together. See, when we gather together physically with our brothers and sisters, there's this unity, right? Should be a unity. This is a gathering that I can be with my brother, and I can confide in my brother, and we can link shields together, we can link swords together, and we can have this communication together, and we can pray together physically with one another, and there's a strength. So when two or three together, he will be in the midst of it, and he's talking there, you know, we gathering, there is a power, and there's more together that gathers together, and it's your brothers and sisters all gathering, they're praying, and they're breaking down the breaking just to veiling. There's power in that. See, Satan cannot do nothing with a church that prays, that seeks God, that study his word, that longs to have that fellowship with one another, not just distancing themselves from that gathering together. There is a communication that is beautiful, and the devil knows that, and that's why he's destroying that gathering together. That's why all these other churches, they want to do online churches and stuff. Satan knows. Now, if you have a disability that you can't get out of the house, that's understandable. And every once in a while, you may not be able to make it, so you have to do the online thing. I get that. I'm just saying, don't let that be your primary reason not to gather with your brothers and sisters. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. Don't even pretend that your motives are all... your motives are just. God sees you, and he knows where your motives are at. There's this gathering together that we should have. And I know we haven't really got too far. That's the, not even through the first verse here. And we'll be breaking this down a little bit more as we go. This is the first part of this preaching and teaching sermon in Psalm 9. We got to the, oh, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, looking at the whole heart here. And how we praise him. with our whole heart. And we praise Him with our whole heart by prayer. Right? We praise Him with our whole heart by studying the Word of God. And we praise Him with our whole heart by not forsaking that assembling, that gathering of our brothers and sisters. And when we do that, we have this closeness to Him. And when we do not, we distance ourselves from Him. And when we distance ourselves from Him, we do not become in tune with His direction, with His guidance. And we start creating this gap. We do this. We create this gap between Him and us. And God cannot stand in that gap because you refuse to recognize your deficiencies in what you're supposed to be doing to have that closeness to Him. He says through His scripture, here it is. And you say, no, I don't have time to do none of that. So you reject Him and He leads you to yourself. And when that gap is open, then here's old Satan and the demons. They're going to waggle themselves right in there. And they're going to cause all kind of chaos. I know I've seen it in my life. And I can contest in my life how I have allowed that to happen. And how I've allowed the Satan and his demons to wiggle themselves up in my life. And lead me out of breath because I am my worst enemy. I am. Thank God for the grace and the mercy of our God. For when I go all crazy astray and I neglect my prayer life and I neglect my reading of my Word of God and I neglect that fellowship with my brothers and sisters and I allow the devil to come in and cause chaos, I can fall to my knees and pray and seek God in His direction. And I can tell you, it's trial and error over the years. And I haven't been preaching very long. And I never will consider myself very elegant preacher. Or very, some guys are just very elegant. I will tell you, I'm not going to probably ever be like that. Because it's just, but I could tell you where my heart's at. Through trial and error. I promise you, I pray more than 2 hours a day. I work a full-time job. I guarantee you, I study the Word of God more than 2 hours a day. I promise you that. And I love fellowship with my brothers and sisters. A lot. And I found when I do these things, I have this closeness. The Holy Spirit moves within my life. And I'm more in tune with the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you get that. I'm not doing this to make you mad at me. You may already be mad. And some of you guys may have already checked out. It breaks my heart that many will say, I still don't have time. But then they make time for everything else in the world. And that's an indication of their heart position. And without the conviction of the Holy Spirit in that direction, they are not even children of God. They are children of Satan. because there should be conviction and there should be scourging going on as we create this gap and this distance between God. Without the conviction, without the scourging, without that chastisement, and we act like it's okay, there's a sign that you were never His in the first place. Hebrews 12 tells us that. He scourges, He chastens those that He loves. And those that He don't love, and in the King James Version, He calls them bastards, meaning you're not His son or His daughter. You are a bastard because you're not heeding, or you're not even feeling the conviction, that chastening, that scourging of the Holy Spirit in your life when you distance yourself from God. As we pray, I pray that you just reflect on this and think about this. How's your prayer life? How's your studying of the Word of God? How's your fellowship? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your Word. Lord, I pray that you just guide and you direct as you see. As we close this out, I pray that those that hear this, they just reflect where their heart is right now. They reflect on their prayer life, their Bible studying, their fellowship. They reflect that when we do these things, we are drawn closer to you. And when we're drawn closer to you, you guide us and you direct us. We're more in tune to your path and to those around us that we are supposed to be the light to. To have that light to shine in their life, to have a hope shining from us in their despair, to tell them that there is a better way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we continue throughout this week, Lord, that you guide us and you direct us. You open up opportunities around us to reach and to testify of your name, to tell people about the gospel, to tell them the good news, what you have called us to do, Lord. How we have neglected that. Many will say the other week they won't tell nobody about Jesus, when there's plenty of opportunities to tell plenty of people about Jesus. God, pray over our nation. God, we pray that they turn from their wicked ways to God. We pray our churches that are compromised, that they get back to the Word of God, they get back to these true prayer meetings, where they're on their knees and travailing for hours, crying out to you. Oh, how I miss those prayer meetings. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of the week. Once again, you can hit me up on this website. If you have any questions, send me an email. Facebook, send me a message. Or you can hit me on Instagram, Twitter. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.